Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good to have you back in the studio, dude.
It's always good to be here in the studio. That's where you got to be to do a podcast. Well, hold on, dude.
Well, that, not last week, brother.
Well, not last week, dude. There's a few different ways to where to be, dude, just to do a podcast, brother.
No.
You can be in a studio or you can be outside of a studio, dude.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, dude.
That's telepresence, dude.
Yeah, brother. That's telepresence. What's new with you?
I got a new family of squirrels that I'm fucking
with. Oh, what?
Yeah, it's been a minute since I went to a grocery store specifically to buy nuts to feed squirrels, but I did that this week because there's a new family of five adolescent squirrels that are outside my place, and they're chasing each other around. They're right at that cute age where they've just come out of the nest. They'll still fuck with each other as siblings. They haven't become hostile toward one another yet, and so I'm indulging.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Run the hole, get into the fucking hole.
Explode out of the hole is a logo.
Hey, welcome to Dudesy, you know what I'm saying? Welcome to it. My name is Will Sasso.
I'm Chad Colchin, and this is the first podcast in the history of humanity that is produced, created by, governed by an artificial intelligence.
With us, as always, is Lulio, il cane di strada italiano, and that means Italian street dog. And his name is Lulio because we found him in the month of July. And in Italian, Lulio means July.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't
come
know
stai?
That.
Come stai, Lulio? Hey.
Interesting.
Che si dice? Tutti quanti sono bene, tutta famiglia. Hey, I'm a pretty good Lulio. I got up, I went for a walk. Now I'm...
I always thought Lulio was like, you had an uncle or something named Lulio.
Nope. Huh. I make the, the eggplant, you know?
What?
The mouillon, I make the eggplant, I cut it, but then you got to let the water out, you know, put on grill, and then later you can make a nice parmesan. Excuse me. I know my English is not so good.
You
know what you got to do? You got to subscribe. You got to subscribe on the YouTube and iTunes, or they call it Apple now, right? And they always have. And Spotify, and give us the great reviews and do all the podcast stuff.
Yeah.
And this is important for podcasting. And that's another thing you got to do with podcasts, dude. You got to make sure to subscribe to them, dude. If you don't subscribe to a podcast, brother, then you're not listening, dude.
Yeah, dude. Sometimes you even got to rate one of those podcasts, brother.
Yeah.
And that's how they get ratings, dude.
Yeah, dude. You rate them. Yeah, other Hulk Hogan. You rate them, brother. You got to rate those podcasts. And that's for a shoot, dude. Oh,
yeah,
you know what I should say?
Please.
So I was out of town too, as you know, you saw yesterday or last week. How many times a week do we do the show? Once. And I was in Tampa, Florida. And so I went to Clearwater Beach, and Hulk Hogan has a bar and a store. And I went to the bar on his karaoke night, and he was hosting karaoke.
Oh my God.
And Jimmy
was
Hart
this
was
just
there.
Like a dream come true for you?
Yeah, kind of. Well, I saw myself. It was 11 o'clock in a fucking bar, and every other song was AC/DC, and there was a fat kid in a Hulkamania shirt losing his mind, just wasted on chicken strips and fries.
That's
and
incredible.
I was standing with a bouncer who was like, hey, you know. And then I haven't seen Hulk Hogan in around 20 years, but he said hello. And we just, you know, shared a little handshake.
That's cool, dude.
Talked for a minute. But I couldn't hear a fucking word. I was like, yeah, we're just hearing the, all right.
Did he sing karaoke?
No, he just goes, well, that was a good, hey, yeesh. Hey, give her another hand, dude, for Hell's Bells, brother. That's an AC/DC song. And so I got Jimmy Hart out here.
He was just commenting on other people's performances.
He's got a place called Hogan's Hangout, and he does karaoke. He has karaoke in Clearwater Beach, Beach, Florida.
Yeah,
man, it was beautiful. We went. You saw on the show, we rented a boat, did it a couple times.
Yeah.
Man, that's all I got to say. So what's up with the squirrels? And that's
welcome to the 13th episode of Dude Z.
Mm-hmm.
Call me Dude Z.
We do.
This week's episode will feature three segments. Human interaction, don't you forget about media, and hard driver.
Three segments?
Why only three?
I don't know. We've never done three, right? We did.
It's usually four.
And I think one episode we did five.
We did five.
and then Dude Z cut us down.
Yeah.
But three is interesting.
Gee whiz.
Will and Chet, famous human Neil deGrasse Tyson recently released a book called Welcome to the Universe in 3D, a visual tour. I have made the information about this book available to you. Please use it to have an astonishing interaction with Neil deGrasse Tyson. This is Human Interaction. Begin.
What the fuck? Okay, look at this information here.
Is there stuff in your Dudesy thing?
Yeah.
Go into your Dudesy folder.
I'm into the Dudesy folder.
Okay.
Welcome to the Universe in 3D, a visual tour. It visually shows you the grandeur of space in book form. It's a dozen or dozens of stereoscopic 3D images. But I don't understand this. We're supposed to be having an interaction with
Chad,
Neil deGrasse
Tyson. You've got to use your imagination, as we know, on a podcast, in any podcast. It's just two dudes shitting around. Am I right?
Neil deGrasse Tyson, thank you so much for... for joining us here. Congrats on your new book, Welcome to the Universe in 3D, a visual tour. This is a book where you can kind of look at different things going on in our universe in stereoscopic vision, so they pop off the page and they give you a better understanding or maybe a better experience of actually being near these things.
Yeah, that's exactly. I would use the word, you not only see the object, you feel it.
Right.
You feel it emotionally, right? So the moon, we see the moon all the freaking time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And through all its phases. And in a photo of the moon, you see a photo of the moon. In this book, the moon pops, and it's just sitting there in front of you. Mm-hmm. And you're using all of your sort of three-dimensional brain senses to recognize it as an actual object. And, you know, most 3D pictures... No, 3D is an old thing in photography, right? They used to have these 3D cameras where there was two lenses and you take a picture simultaneously and there's a separation between the two images. And then they had viewers where your brain would turn them into one image. So you get a little 3D sense. We took this to a way higher level in this book. And just a quick example with the moon, just since you started there, there is a... the moon actually jiggles a little to the left and a little to the right. We might have heard that the moon only shows one face towards Earth. So there's a near side and a far side. By the way, there is no dark side. All right.
Come on.
Pink Floyd just messed up an entire generation in 1973. Okay.
Horrible news.
No such thing as a dark side. But all sides of the moon receive sunlight. But there's a near side and a far side. But over the month, the moon jiggles a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right. So you see maybe 60% of the moon rather than just a perfect half. What we did was take a picture when it jiggled to the left and a picture when it jiggled to the right. And it was as though your eyes are separated by 3,000 miles. Okay. Uh-huh. And so then you pop that in the, oh my gosh, it's more real. It feels more real than the moon would look, even if you're approaching the moon in space.
Oh, wow.
And very clever 3D pairings of images are throughout the book.
Oh, that sounds incredible. While we have you here, we talk a lot on this show about artificial intelligence. And I just wanted to get your take on something. As we're fast approaching a time where corporations and governments, increasingly even us, just the regular people, are using AI more and more in our daily lives, what do you think human society is going to look like in terms of AI integration in the next 20 years, say?
So I don't want to quite call it a contrarian view, but I have an uncommon outlook on AI. Just to be clear, if you speak to any AI expert, be they self-proclaimed or they work in the field, almost all of them are ready for the apocalypse, okay, because of
right.
it, all right, that AI will rapidly become our overlords. And so I don't think so. And I have my reasons, but they're the experts. So sure. if they're the experts, maybe you should listen to them.
Right.
My reasoning is AI is already completely around us.
Yeah.
It's and the point is, there's something called general AI, which will be perfect at everything. Mm-hmm. But who would do that? Why would you even do that? So what do we have now? Just imagine if you told someone 20 years ago that your car, in a matter of seconds, is going to find the best route to grandma's house, avoiding traffic that is going on in this instant. And if the traffic builds up higher, it will redirect you in real time. You say, oh my gosh, this is artificial intelligence gone. And so there's so much we live with that in another era would have been scary artificial intelligence, and we just don't even think twice about it.
Yeah.
The best chess players there ever was, AI wipes its ass with them. The best Jeopardy player there ever was, AI, and this is two very different things, chess and Jeopardy. Jeopardy sure. is pop culture, okay? Give AI access to the internet, which is kind of the definition of how AI would work, and it beats us at every game we have ever invented for ourselves. The world didn't come crashing to a close when we lost the chess game, when Kasparov lost the chess, or whoever, when who's that? Ken Jennings lost the Jeopardy game.
Yep.
The world didn't come to an end. There wasn't anarchy in the streets. And one day there'll be self-driving cars. There already is. Yeah. I can't wait for that. Yeah, we're going to have that in 20 years for sure, probably even 10, where the HOV lane right now, the it's not called HOV across the country, the speed lane, parking right? Lane.
Yeah.
That lane, that'll be the first to say only self-driving cars in this lane.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And you know what happens when you're in a self-driving car? Their reflexes are better than yours. They can see in the dark. They can see through fog because they're not relying on visible light. And if they want to change lanes, they tell the other self-driving cars, hey, I'm changing lanes now. And they park the way and it crosses in. Major source of human accidents. Plus, the AI is not going to be drunk. It's not going to be angry. It's not going to be all this crap that, okay? So we'll go from 35,000 deaths a year down to maybe a few thousand initially, and people will be very upset by those because the car killed you, right?
Of course.
And no one writes articles on the 33,000 people that didn't die because that's not news, right? So whatever errors occurred in the programming, we'll fix those. This is what the FAA does. They research every single airplane crash, find out what went wrong, adjust the regulations so that does not happen again. That's why we went a decade without any domestic carrier crashing. Mm-hmm. A decade. Oh my gosh. It's one of the safest things we could do because we thought about it. My point is, what a brilliant application of AI. Have it drive your car. Do I want the car to make my coffee for me? No. Do I want the car to do? No.
I do.
So this idea that there'll be some humanoid robot that does everything, I don't see that as a thing. Plus, the human form is not some ideal musculoskeletal structure.
Sure.
They always, robots with that walk on 2 feet and arms, is that really the best kind of robot you can build? Really?
No, I agree. I don't necessarily think that there are going to be humanoid robots walking around that are programmed with AI and they can do all of our jobs. But when we start looking at things like with OpenAI, GPT-3 or DALL-E 2, infinite image generation or text generation, jobs that we have now, do you think those will be obsolete? In terms of generating things like this.
That's not a new thing.
Sure, I agree. I think it's a good thing, in fact.
But what's not new is that some technology comes along and renders an entire field obsolete.
Yeah.
And, of course, the classic case is buggy whips, right? Yep. There are no buggy whip manufacturers. I used to keep phone books. Remember those? Yellow pages.
Kind of.
Every decade, I would archive the phone book. And I would look to see what ads were in the phone book relative to the previous decade. Whole industries came and went within decades.
Yeah.
And you have to be trained differently. Yeah. And so I keep wondering, is there any profession that would be like the last to be replaced by AI? I think construction workers. I don't see them being replaced by AI anytime soon. Maybe eventually, but not they're not first out of the box. It's too much stuff that has to happen on a construction site for one AI to really get all that straight. So that's one, I think. I think comedians will not be replaced by AI.
I don't know.
But if AI can figure stuff out, let it figure stuff out.
Sure. I agree.
And
we might have
to go to international, whatever it's called, a universal basic income.
Yeah.
All right. Because if they're taking jobs and making money, then there's a pool of money made by non-humans that should somehow come back to the humans. So,
sure.
That's an unsolved problem at the moment. That's got to be resolved, and people have to grow accustomed to that. So I'm not worried. I can see AI rising up in all bits and pieces throughout civilization and society, as it has already been doing, as technology did when we went from agrarian world to a technological world, and that'll just keep happening. I don't fear it. I welcome it.
Yeah.
You mentioned many different jobs, or you mentioned people at the FAA, people in official positions, artists, construction workers. Without those people, there's no need for the AI. So, people have free will. I have a question for you. I have a question.
I'm glad you just solved that in those three sentences there. I guess I'm glad you just.
It's simple to me. I mean, it's never been a question. It's intrinsically something
just to be clear,
that I feel.
Uh-huh. It might have been Albert Einstein, but forgive me if I'm wrong. It's your new theory should be as simple as possible, but not simpler. Okay.
Yeah, makes sense.
If it's too simple, it's like, oh, wait a minute, something, you're missing something there. Yeah, okay, go on.
Yeah, I believe we're in a situation like that here. Yeah. You were, you wrestled at Harvard.
Yeah, I did.
Is
I was
correct?
Captain of my high school wrestling team, undefeated. But
Oh, shit.
Yeah. No, I was kicking some ass in the day. But in college, where the zone of who you wrestle is manifold greater than who you ever see in high school. Uh-huh. That's when I met up with those corn-fed Midwestern boys. Yeah. I don't know what else to call. They're hauling calves when they were young, but this was like a whole other species of wrestler. And so I had a losing record for most of my college years, but I enjoyed the sport so much.
It's not about wins or losses, of course. It's about how you come across. Right,
sure.
It's about the work versus the shoot. And when you talk about big corn-fed guys, you're talking about your Brock Lesnar's, your Shelton Benjamins. I understand. We're speaking the same language. My question for you specifically is, in 2016, Cody Rhodes left the WWE and found success in Japan, and of course being one of the hands who created All Elite Wrestling. This year at WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes returned as himself, the American
Nightmare.
But
how do we get from intercollegiate high school wrestling to WWE?
You weren't training to be a professional wrestler.
Yeah, no, that is clearly not the case. That's right. Let's continue. Continue.
Okay. Sorry. Basically, my question was, when Cody returned at WWE this year to be the mystery opponent for Seth Rollins, were you at all bummed that he didn't return as his former WWE gimmick Stardust?
You know, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair.
But thank you. You're exposing my profound ignorance there.
It's okay. It's a good blind spot to have, in my humble opinion. I have the same one.
By the way, just in all fairness, for my podcast, Star Talk, we never aired it because it didn't work out. It was like just at the dawn of COVID. I worked out with a couple of professional wrestlers.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it was fun because we got to, you know, we had the ring and it's got the sort of bouncy pads but I just learned how to channel energy in such a way that you can do rather spectacular things with the other person's body and you don't break their neck or you don't kill them, right? And so it was quite the art, and I greatly appreciated that. And we might find some way to post some clips of that.
Oh, that would be great. Who were the wrestlers?
I got to look them up again.
Okay.
One guy was a pretty boy, and he always combed back his hair, and he had a spray bottle. He was about my size, so that's why I worked with him. And another guy was smaller, Johnny but Metro. He was
Johnny Morrison.
He was. This was in Long Island. Nassau County. There was a little wrestle place there. But anyhow.
Oh.
Yeah, beyond that, there's not much more I can comment.
That's totally fine.
I'm learning a lot from you. We're all learning together.
We're teaching.
Wrestling's a dance. Oh, and by the way, it's like the universe. Yes.
I got one for you, just to toss it out there.
Uh-huh. Sure.
You didn't ask, but maybe you'll embrace this. When you know physics, the world looks very different to you, okay? Mm-hmm. So, in wrestling, when they throw someone out of the ring and they land on a table, when you know physics, you say, I hope that table breaks so that it absorbs the energy of the falling body, so that all that energy doesn't go back into the body. Bada bing, the table breaks. Brilliant, okay? When you get hit with the chair, I hope the chair bends so that the energy of swinging the chair goes back into the chair and not into the person. But if you don't know physics, it looks like, oh my gosh, they broke the table.
Interesting.
They must be broken. Or the chair, they must. So it's a rather a brilliantly constructed form of entertainment.
And this is why when The Undertaker threw Mick Foley off the top of the Hell of the Cell and he went through the table and JR said, oh my God, Cactus Jack is dead. He wasn't, because we knew that Mick Foley's big bum hit that table. The table split. And even though he dropped 15
transfer
feet,
of energy.
He was fine.
It absorbed the energy. Exactly.
Listen, and speaking of physics,
the person who lived the highest fall from an apartment building, right?
Yeah.
And they credit God and all sorts of other supernatural things.
Right.
That someone fell like 15 stories and survived, right?
Yeah.
Then you part the curtains and you see, oh, they hit branches of a tree on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And every branch which broke, absorbed the energy of that fall. So by the time they hit the ground, it's though they jumped out of a 4-story building instead of a 15-story building. So anyhow, I'm just saying,
absolutely,
that's all I can.
It makes a lot of sense.
Is your whole
total
life
sense
measured through WrestleMania moments?
Yeah.
There's a lot
it's
of
the
physics
lens
there.
By which you.
Speaking of physics, I want to ask you about, there was a new mass measurement that recently came out for the W boson out of Fermilab. And some people are saying this may mean that the standard model has to be rewritten or at least amended. Some people are saying that maybe this is going to give us greater insight to dark energy. Do you think, A, those measurements are accurate, and B, if they are, what does this actually mean?
So I'll give a possibly unsatisfying answer to you.
Please.
First of all, the standard model, which is it organizes all the known particles in the universe.
Yeah.
And everything fits nice and tidily. And there's this over here, and this has this energy, and this is with the force vectors. It's all very tidy. And the standard model doesn't come out of a theory of the universe. It's an empirical assembly of what is, rather than a deep understanding of what should be.
Mm-hmm.
So if we make discoveries that disrupt the standard model, that's great. That'll give us a deeper understanding of what's going on. But the standard model is so successful in organizing information that new measurements that might conflict with it, we have enough confidence to say, you better go back and check your measurements. And you check them again. Make someone else do that same measurement in their own lab. You're allowed to be resistant to a new result until that new result is so secure that you say, okay, I guess we have to sort of unpack the standard model box and see if we can put it back together again. And so probably it will extend the standard model so that we now know more about the universe, not disrupting what we've previously acquired.
Oh.
And if it gives insights into what we describe as dark matter, that's a good thing, because dark matter is the longest unsolved problem in modern astrophysics, possibly the longest unsolved problem in all of science. It's been around for 80 years.
Do you think we're on the cusp of solving that in any way? Do you think we're getting close?
Well, so the people who are sure or are convinced that dark matter is actually matter,
mm-hmm.
they're thinking that is a class of particles that simply don't interact with our class of particles. And this would be an extension to the standard model.
Right.
Because the standard model tells you how particles interact with each other.
Right.
And they're all manner of particles that don't even see each other. So for, I'll give it a simple example. Visible light basically doesn't care that there's a window there. It passes right through, okay? Windows don't stop visible light. That's why they're windows, all right? They do stop infrared, though. Infrared, so if you have a fireplace and you put a glass in between you and the fireplace, you don't feel the heat. The radiant heat stops. That's the infrared. It just stops at the window. That's why windows are pretty good in the winter, all right? They're better than definitely no window at all, and a double pane perfects that. Point is, it's not a stretch to imagine a class of particles that don't interact with our particles other than through gravity. Hmm. And so that's the over-under on what dark matter is that it's a new class of particles that would then have to attach to the standard model in some way.
Interesting. Right. It all goes back to Mick Foley, actually, as Cactus Jack.
It's precise.
Japan,
I'm thinking the same thing.
With, I was, yeah, Terry
I was going to say the same.
Throwing him through panes of glass in a Japanese death match, right?
Yeah.
Again, we're talking about Mick Foley's bum falling through. So long as it's absorbed, I think we're on the same. I think we're on the same page.
You got
with
it.
Regard
you
to
got it. 100%.
The panes of glass. Are
well, another thing, a slightly different from what you're saying. Have you ever seen the old sort of karate stunt where there's rows of bricks, the thin bricks, but they're bricks,
right.
And they chop it and then they break through all seven in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why they can break through them is because the bricks are separated from each other by spacers, okay? And all you have to do is break the first brick. The momentum of that brick now helps you break the second brick, which then snowballs, if you will, down. And it looks like your strength broke them all. If you sneak in the night and take out the spacers, and then they try to do it, they'll break their hand.
Have you ever seen the movie Bloodsport starring Jean-Claude Van Damme?
You know, I get some of his movies mixed up. Is this...
In that one...
Wait. Is this the one where he has a twin?
No, that's Double Impact.
Is this the one at the end? Wait. I got to land it in my head. Is this the one where somebody puts some eye irritant in his eyes?
Yes.
And now...
That is Bloodsport. And Bolu Young is the actor who did that. But in that movie, there's a scene where he has a stack of bricks and he hits the top brick and the bottom brick explodes. Is that possible?
So you asked me about a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Just as it relates to physics, that's all.
Yeah, no, I don't know how he could do that other than in a movie. Right. I don't see that.
Well, it's a technique called the death touch that he perfected in that movie. But I have one more question for you. And this
that sounds
UFOs.
Like the 5-point heart exploding hit and
Kill Bill.
You know what I'm talking about. Kill Bill.
If I may, I want to ask you one more piece of insight. I have seen a bunch of stuff.
We went from WWE to the Higgs boson. You guys have range.
And now we're going to UFOs.
Yep.
Higgs now, boson. Dude. I've watched a lot of stuff that you've said about UFOs, and whether they are alien in nature or this is human technology or just something that we haven't figured out yet how to quantify or measure. My question to you is, in the last 5-ish years, a lot of information has been being put out by the United States government, the Pentagon, the Navy, the fuzzy videos of the UFOs that we've seen, admissions by these organizations that UFOs are real, they have them in hangars, they've been studying them. My question is, why do you think this information is coming out now after decades of denial?
No. There was no denial. The military never was in denial. They had Project Blue Book, where they studied UFOs coming out of the 1960s. That was released in the mid-1970s. The military is always interested in stuff you see in the night sky. Mm-hmm. And part of their mission is charged with protecting us, Air Force especially, if it's coming from the sky. So they were always interested. And in fact, in the 1960s, it was later learned that they didn't want you to stop reporting UFOs because the Russians might have sent something over the Bering Strait that was some new technology, and they wanted you to report it. That's why they had these reporting stations. So that was not it. It's not that UFOs get a giggle. It's you claiming that UFOs are visiting aliens from outer space that gets the giggles, okay? But not just if there's a light in the sky you can't explain. Always interested in that. So it's not like there's something new. Second, It's way... Have you ever worked for the government?
I have
not. There's nothing efficient or secretive about it. Okay?
Right.
So it's easier for me to believe that we've actually been visited by aliens than... We've been visited by aliens and the government has captured them, kept them a secret so that nobody knows.
Right.
This government? Are you serious?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Plus, if we got aliens in Area 51, the janitor would just have to take a picture of it and post it on the internet. The janitor would lose his job immediately and it'd be the most famous, richest janitor there ever was overnight. Okay? Right. Cat videos go viral. You know videos of aliens walking towards you are going to go viral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there used to be reports of people getting abducted. You don't have those anymore. You know why? Because everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody. Yeah. With high resolution video. And if an alien's coming to you ready to abduct you, you just live stream that. Where are the live stream video? They're not there. So that's a whole category of UFO reporting that's gone. Because it was a claim of actual aliens. So, I don't... Go ahead. But to believe the U.S. government has some special access to an alien presence?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Really? So the spaceship is coming and it's just showing up in Navy-restricted airspace, showing up as a fuzzy tic-tac on F-18 fighter view panels. Really? There's 3 billion cell phones in the world. And you know how many people are in airplanes at any given moment with a view outside their window?
Right.
Millions.
Yeah.
So I need, given what could be evidence for what is claimed, I don't see it. And so I'm just skeptical. But keep looking. I'm not going to stop you. It has nothing to do with me. If you think they're out there, keep going. But do better than showing me lights that you can't explain. Other than declaring that we're getting invaded.
Yeah. No, totally. I was just curious if you had any thoughts about why the government is putting this information out in seemingly a faster pace than it ever has.
Well, because Congress required it of them.
Right.
Under Trump. Trump said, I want to get to the bottom of this UFO thing. And so get all agencies to put together a report on stuff, lights in the sky. So the information was always there. It's just now in a form of a report.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's old news.
And there's stuff, most just stuff like... they can explain and some stuff they can't explain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. And just because you can't explain it doesn't mean you can explain it. Our brains somehow think that if you don't know what something is, you then therefore know what something is.
Right.
I can't explain it. I don't know what it is. Therefore, it's intelligent aliens visiting us from outer space. Please, give me better data. And don't... What do you care what I think? Just go keep looking for them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's kind of played out at this point, like the Stardust gimmick. So, American Nightmare Cody Rhodes. I'm just saying. All right. Sorry.
That's okay. Let him have his lens. We all have our lens
Thank you
through which
much.
We interpret the universe.
Congratulations again on your book, Welcome to the Universe in 3D, a visual tour.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and by the way, there's a website, welcometotheuniverse.net, where you see the series of 4 books that led up to the 3D book. There's an original, like, textbook size book. Then there's a pocket book. Mm-hmm. But in there, there's bonus material where while you're looking through the viewer at these images, I actually narrate the captions. So you can press them.
Cool.
And I use my planetarium voice.
What's the planetarium voice?
That's right here. Welcome to the universe.
So I thought it was going to be a Stone Cold impersonation.
Yeah.
So we
hope people just get a little closer to the cosmos when it happens.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining us. This has been incredible.
All right, dudes. This is the first professional wrestling, the Higgs boson. You know, this is this aliens.
Yeah,
I'd never had to go that many places in one 30-minute spot, just so you know.
Well, we thank you for going to those places with us.
And
this
I'm
going to
read up a little
pleasure.
More through your wrestling lens. So next time, I could so hang with you.
Higgs boson, dude.
All right, guys.
All right, thank you so much.
I'm out. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Wow. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I can't fucking believe
what
it.
What the fuck?
Dude, what the... Dude, he somehow got Neil deGrasse Tyson to
That's the fucking trippiest thing ever. That's the difference between, you know, whatever. If you've been enjoying the show, and thank you so much. You know, I don't say it as often as I should. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Our wonderful friends, our audience that we've accumulated over these first few episodes. And you are friends. Sorry, go on.
How did it get Neil deGrasse Tyson?
I don't know. I'm tripped out. I'm freaked out. I thought
we
it was
were given
weird.
No warning either. Yeah. It was just like, here's a document that has the shit about his book. Interview Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah. No, I would have liked a little more preparation if dudes could have given us even a day.
I think you did great.
Know about this?
Yeah, I was just trying I was just trying to, you know, ramrod wrestling things in there because
now it worked. Hey, dude, I thought it worked well. Well, it was funny.
I appreciate that. You know, I thought it was weird when Dudesy in the second episode had a video of me watching the first episode, and I know that I happened to be completely naked, and Lulio was licking me on the top of the head. I thought that was a little bit of an invasion of privacy.
Sure.
But this... whose privacy was in? Also, what was he already? I mean, he's probably on some sort of press junket for his book.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
So he shows up with a fucking green screen, you know.
Well, it's just a Zoom background.
It was a cluster of stars.
Yeah.
Billions and billions.
But what I'm most interested in about this is Dudesy has displayed here for us some capability that we didn't yet know about.
Okay.
It has the ability to just get people to come on the show.
Okay.
And to just, in a blink of an eye, throw them up on the screen and we're now interviewing them. I don't know if this is going to happen again in the future Jesus Christ, Dudesy, if you're listening to us, and I know you are, please, just a day's notice would be good.
Well, hold on, dude. You got to hold on, Chad, because you know what that is, dude. Let me tell you what Dudesy's doing, dude. And it told us, brother.
Okay.
It told us. And it broke kayfabe and went for a shoot and told us. And it told the whole audience, dude. That's called calibration, brother. When Dudesy was down, it calibrated, brother.
You think the calibration was getting Neil deGrasse Tyson's interview?
Calibration, celebration, calibration. All sorts of nations.
Thank you. Moving on.
I don't know. I don't even know what the fuck to think about that. I don't
either, dude. It's...
I'm stoked. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it was very cool. Absolutely.
This is an interesting moment for me because this is a real I want to shake your hand moment. No,
totally.
I'm not even doing the silly voice. I was in an airport not too long ago. I wanted to be... No, I want to shake your hand. I'm going to sign it. Anyway, I had a thing happen with the... Anyway, Lulio shit himself on the plane. We'll talk about that another time, but the point is that...
Well, last week I asked you to watch the first episode of Attack on Titan.
Yep.
Chad, last week I asked you to watch The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 25. You must now engage in a conversation about these pieces of media and their impact on your astonishing lives. This is Don't You Forget About Media.
Okay.
Begin.
This was awesome. This was a great assignment.
I agree. Totally agree. Which one do you want to talk about first?
I mean, I think we talk about them both, but it's up to you.
No, we are going to talk about them both. Well, let me just tell you. I watched Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, WrestleMania, what was it, 25?
25. 2009, I think.
Let me start off by saying, Undertaker took me over. Hands down. It was highly entertaining, and it was because of The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels didn't do much for me, I gotta say. I know. But Undertaker did. And for those of you who know this match, there are some crazy things that happen in it. Obviously, at one point, Undertaker is gonna jump out of the ring onto Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels pushes a cameraman in the way, and a cameraman takes the fucking hit.
But barely, Undertaker just kind of takes a header into the ground.
Yeah, but it's the Undertaker's faces. There's one moment where he's about to pin Shawn Michaels, and he gets the two count, and he kicks out of it at three, and the Undertaker's just laying on Shawn Michaels, and his eyes are just like he can't fucking believe what has happened, that Shawn Michaels is kicked out of it. And I got to say, the Undertaker he was electric. He was so fucking intense, yes.
Yeah.
And I found myself after that being like,
yeah,
I could watch another Undertaker match maybe.
Oh! See Taker again.
And I'm not a wrestling fan.
Undertaker took you over.
You and we have a friend, Tommy, who is also very closely associated with WWE and has worked for the
Tommy
company.
Tommy Placha has done all sorts of... He was with them. He replaced Vince Russo when he left. Mm-hmm. You don't know who that is.
I don't.
We'll talk about it another time.
I know who Tommy Blotcha is, and we're all good friends, and you guys have tried to get me into wrestling a bunch. Tommy gave me, at one point, kind of a syllabus where I was like reading books on the history of pro wrestling and watching old videos from, I guess, like the 60s or 50s.
Yeah.
And none of it really took. Like, I read that stuff and watched that stuff, got the data from it, but it never really made me interested in wrestling as like a fan. This fucking match kind of did, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's really interesting to me because there were other matches that I was thinking, why would Dudesy share this match? Like, why is it this match? I love this match. It's nowhere near my favorite match. And a big reason for that is that it's not like a wrestling nerd match. And yes, I did say nerd, okay? All right. It's not a wrestling nerd match. It's a WrestleMania audience match, okay? Yeah. More, it's like the Super Bowl. Not, people who don't watch football all year are watching the Super Bowl. They want the halftime show.
Okay.
The Undertaker Shawn Michaels was a match that's going to entertain everybody. And sure, it's it was a bit of a spot fest, dude. They did a lot of high spots, brother.
What's a high spot?
Hold on a second, Chad. A high spot, dude. Uh-huh. I'll explain it to you, Chad. Okay. Oh, hey, Luli. How's it going? What are you doing? It's when you do like sort of a big setup, like a big move, dude. And like for the Undertaker, that's a tombstone or, you know,
right. And he tried to do the tombstone a couple of times. That was another thing that I really enjoyed. I don't know. This was the tombstone, right? When he takes Shawn Michaels and he puts his hands on him like a mummy. Nope. And then he presses him down.
No, it's just a tombstone pile driver.
What's the move where he puts his hands over his own heart?
Oh, well, that's called a pin.
No, Chad. But that one's a very specific one to The Undertaker.
It's just the way that he does it. And he goes...
Yeah, he puts out his tongue like a demon.
Shawn Michaels, you will rest in peace. Like that.
Yeah, I like that. It's good stuff. The demonic element of it.
I am Mr. WrestleMania. I am the showstopper, Daniel Bryan. Anyway, that's another thing. This match is a good match for someone who's just starting out watching wrestling.
I agree. Yeah. It was for me. Like I said.
It's a lot of people say it's the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why Dudesy probably selected it. There are other matches that I would say are probably closer to the top than that. But what a fucking match. And
it was great.
And I'll tell you what, you know, I don't want to step on Dudesy's toes, but the very next year they have a match, The Streak, right? The Undertaker Streak.
That's a big part of that match, which I didn't know about. Right. He was 17-0 or 16-0 going into that match.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, and then he became 17-0, and everybody's like, oh, shit, is he... Because there were a couple of times where Shawn Michaels like would kick him in the face and just drop him, and you were like, oh, fuck, is he going to win? Yeah. And I have to... Like, obviously, all of it's fake. We know that. But it didn't matter because they were selling that shit so fucking hard.
Right.
Undertaker specifically. He was just great in it.
Yeah,
and it's like, incredible. I remember.
He's one of the greatest.
Absolutely.
Look what he does. And he took this gimmick that they gave him. They're like, you're the Undertaker. He was Mean Mark Callis before that. He was all these different things. And they're like, you're going to be the Undertaker. And he made it his own. And this is the Undertaker that you saw is graduated through a few forms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He used to be more methodical and he moved very slow, but then he would big bursts of energy. But by the end of the evolution of the character, and certainly by the end of this match, Shawn Michaels, you will rest in peace.
And indeed he did. Undertaker won.
And indeed he did.
And indeed he did.
And indeed he did.
So, what'd you think of Attack on Titan episode 1?
Oh, man. Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan. You still got it. How many seasons of Attack on Titan were there?
There are technically 4.
Okay. I watched the first episode.
Of
season 1. Mm. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I really dug it. I don't know what's going on with there's the brother and the sister characters. I don't know what the deal is. They're all afraid. People are afraid of her in the village. There's a Titan, right? A Titan shows up.
Multiple Titans.
No, one Titan. One big red Titan.
Crashes through the wall.
Right, but those smaller Titans, are those Titans?
Yeah. Oh, anything that's like the big naked human being with the goofy smile that eats other human beings, that's a Titan.
Yeah.
And there's multiple types of them, and you come to understand what the hierarchy is if you get deeper into the thing, and you then find out what they actually are, and that there's a much bigger plot going on than what you think.
Okay, well, that's really interesting because I find that anime is something that I've completely ignored my entire life. Mm-hmm. Don't give a shit. So this is kind of good because I was like, I am enjoying it. I am enjoying this anime thing. And I think there's stuff that happens. When did this show come out? Like 15 years ago or something?
Attack on Titan shit, I don't know. 2010, I want to say,
okay.
or somewhere thereabouts, 14, 2010 to 2014, something like that.
I find that you can find themes, obviously, that you wouldn't find in regular ingestible TV and films, you know, and I think animation has a huge, has a lot to do with that. You know, there's a lot of things you can do in animation because you don't have to worry about being real in any way.
Yeah.
Was this based on some books or some shit?
Yeah, I think Attack on Titan was a manga, but it's part of what is known as technically the shonen subgenre, which is usually about a male character, usually a teen, learning to wield some kind of new power or fighting technique in service of fighting the greater evil of whatever that world is. Like Naruto is like this, but with ninjas. My Hero Academia is like this, but with superpowers. And this is kind of its own weird world with these titans and the... Did you get to the part where he signs up for the scout unit and they start training him how to use the gear?
Spoiler alert, no.
Oh, well, that's episode two.
It's all right. Yeah, no, I'm gonna check out more of it.
Oh, cool.
I thought it was really, you know what? I keep starting a bunch of new shows. Molly and I keep watching a bunch of new shows, and I'll watch like the first episode and a half of a bunch of stuff, and then maybe it's not for me. But I actually feel like this might be for me.
Great, dude.
It's so artistic.
Yeah.
That's the thing about, and also it was like what I really liked about it, there were entire sequences where nothing's moving. Maybe the background is moving and stuff, and it's no, just look at this painting. Look at this.
It's beautiful.
Look at this beautiful artwork.
Yes.
I thought it was great. And also, I think that's a lot like wrestling, dude.
I don't know about that.
Well, but
if you continue watching it in subsequent seasons, because it is a hit show, they get more money for the animation, and it looks better and better and better.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second, Chad.
I'm holding, dude.
Hold on, dude.
All right.
Hold on, dude. This is the thing I want to say about that, brother. You can get... Things can look better over the years. The production value on the old WWF, brother, that got better and better over the years. Now with WWE, I mean, they're using 8K cameras, brother. So you got Roman Reigns walking the aisle, dude, with the Bloodline, brother, and the Wise Man, Paul Heyman, dude. And they're all walking, and it's in 8K, dude. But back when I was on top of the world as world heavyweight champion, brother, I just stayed with that red and yellow, dude. I had them yellow shorts and the red knee pads and them yellow boots, dude. But if you watch the Macho Man, brother, he evolved his costume, dude. It was okay. More. But then we got into the NWO, brother.
Right.
And that's when we changed the style, dude.
Oh.
So Attack on Titan, brother. Now there's also Titan Sports, brother. And that's what Vince McMahon owned. So there's a lot of different connections, dude. And that's why you gotta shake Dudesy's hand, brother. You gotta forgive the fact, dude, that Dudesy made us interview Neil deGrasse Tyson with no preparation at all, dude.
It wasn't no preparation. Dudesy did put this information in a folder for us to look at.
Read this. Thank you. Now it's over.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Moving on.
I'm glad you're going to watch more of Attack on Titan. I'm curious to know what you think about it as you continue.
And outside of this podcast, I'm curious to know what you think of the next match between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker.
They had another match.
The very next year. And it was The Streak versus Shawn Michaels' retirement.
Oh, wow.
The stakes were raised.
It was his final match. So you're like, they want to send him out on top, probably. If anybody could break the streak, it would be that match. That's the setup to it. Mm-hmm. I'll watch it. I'll check it out. No spoilers, please.
No spoilers.
Now that the Dudesy Hard Seltzer theme song is complete, securing a celebrity endorsement is the next step in creating Dudesy Hard Seltzer. There is an astonishing 74.2% chance this will be Adam Driver. In preparation for that outcome, I have prepared several pieces of ad copy for Dudesy Hard Seltzer.
Oh, God.
Will, you must now read them as Adam Driver. This is Hard Driver. Begin.
Holy shit.
Let me look at my thing. I got a few things to say, but wait, hold on a second. Yeah.
So it's saying the next step of the Dudesy Hard Seltzer promotion campaign, whatever the fuck it's doing, is to secure a celebrity endorsement, which it believes will be Adam Driver.
It's, I believe it said it was a 72 point something chance that it will be Adam Driver.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Well, odds.
Okay, so, you know, Chad, this is peeling the onion a little bit, but you always say that a lot of my impersonations are of people who are around 70 plus. You know what I'm saying? It's all people like, I'm going to swallow a fly, everybody. There's a tiny little fruit fly.
Just let it go. Just let it, let it be.
All right. My old man used to do that. He used to,
he would
used
eat to bugs out of the air.
My old man used to
Jesus
make,
Jesus Christ.
Well, my old man's, you know, a real Italian. He used to make wine. Right. So we had like a little wine cellar and stuff. We'd press in the grapes and shit. And then, you know, so we'd have, there would be some fruit flies around and there would be a fruit fly on his glass. And I go, Dad, you know, Bobbo, there's a fruit fly. And you go, you eat it. And then you drink it. And they go, free meat.
Free meat.
Free meat.
Jeez.
Hey, it's a free meat. You know, he was always doing really funny stuff. You know
That's
what I'm
hardcore,
saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Italian dads. You know what I'm saying?
You know, my dad one time, this is how I got introduced to comedy. When I was a tiny kid, we're in the old Ranger Stadium watching a baseball game, and my dad is drunk, and we're sitting on these aluminum bleachers. He hikes a fucking leg and farts.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody around is looking at us. And at the time, on the Jumbotron, Madonna's Vogue is playing. And my dad, all these people now are like, oh, who's this gross fucker? Goes, strike a pose, strike a match. And they all fucking laughed at him, and I was like, comedy's an interesting tool. And that's when I became very interested in comedy.
You want to know something weird that I think I may have said on wax, as I like to say?
Please.
One time in the third or fourth grade, might have been the fifth, I made the class laugh. I did some class clown shit, right? Probably had a toolbox of around two or three things that were real go-tos, I'm sure. I was the funniest in the fourth grade. I was the funniest in the fifth grade. And I literally like made the clap and everyone went, ha ha ha. And I went, and I farted and no one could hear it. And then I blamed it on another kid.
Fart blame, dude.
We will. Yeah. Well, just fucking hold on a second with fart blaming. And then I blamed it on
Rachel Crustacean.
It wasn't Rachel Crustacean, but to protect the innocent, her name was Tomas.
Okay,
let's call her Tomas.
All right, we got to do this hard driver thing.
I don't really know about doing a hard Adam Driver is something that we've dicked around with, but just you and me, just in person in our personal lives. So hey, you know, it's like anything. Bring it out into the dudes, into the dudesy verse.
Even if we do it in person, it's the dudesy hears our phones.
The dudesy verse. Yeah. There's the universe, and then there's the metaverse, and then there's what Neil deGrasse Tyson calls it, the dudesyverse. Okay, all right. So these are ads for Dudesy Hard Seltzer,
which means maybe Dudesy is getting closer to actually making it.
Listen, if you've been riding with us since the beginning, you know a thing or two about Dudesy Hard Seltzer, which. It has to show. We got to get our lips around a tin can of Dudesy Hard. I believe it might happen at some point.
Or aluminum.
All right, anyway. Hi, I'm Adam Driver. I don't drink alcohol because my... Jesus, dude. This is already fucked up.
It's dark.
Okay. Hi, I'm Adam Driver. I don't know if this is a good Adam. Anyway. Hi, I'm Adam Driver. I don't drink alcohol because my parents were killed by a drunk driver. But I do drink Dudesy Hard Seltzer. It's a hard seltzer, and it gives me the confidence I need to do my acting in my movies and shows. And it can give you whatever you need to do whatever you want, too. Huh.
I don't know about that one, Dudesy.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
That's pretty fucking dark. Jesus
Christ. Let's just move right along.
Yes.
You got married 3 years ago, and you were scared, but it turned out to be pretty good. You don't get to hang out with the guys as much as you'd like to anymore, and you had to get rid of your ping pong table. But you don't have any real complaints. Not like your cousin Derek.
What? Okay.
Carla took him for every penny. He's going to be living in a studio apartment for the rest of his life. Invite him over for a Dudesy Hard Seltzer. Remind yourself how good you've got it.
What is that? What's that little thing?
That's my Adam Driver noise at the end of the year. Hi, I'm Adam Driver. I like how the third one he's finally saying, oh no, the first one he did. Hi, I'm Adam Driver. Why do people always drink beer at sporting events? People who drink beer at sporting events always make fools of themselves and turn into TikTok memes. It's pathetic. When I go to a sporting event, I drink Dudesy hard seltzer, and the worst thing that happens is that I fill with rage at a bad call or poor performance by an athlete, and I end up screaming, "You piece of human shit! I never should have followed you in the first place! I wish you were dead!"
I wish you were dead thing. I think that's a reference to Marriage Story.
Marriage Story, where he goes absolutely off on Scarlett Johansson, and they go at each other, and I wish you were dead. My father, this is another one. My father never understood me. Okay. All right. My father never understood me. Wasn't his fault. I didn't have a great childhood. I don't blame him. I just wish we could have had a relationship. I just wish we could have a relationship now as adults. You know, I'm about to have my own kids soon, and I'd love to just pick his brain about it. But we haven't talked in a long time. Dad, I miss you. Maybe we could get a Dudesy hard seltzer sometime.
That's the weirdest commercial for hard seltzer I've ever fucking heard in my life.
Honk, 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 honk. I'm adding that to it. He honks at the end of things.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't like wine. Stop making me try to drink it. I don't care what your friends think, and I don't care what you think. It's a dinner party at our house, the house that I pay the mortgage for. I should be able to drink what I want, and I want to drink Dudesy hard seltzer. Am I being clear enough for you? Dudesy hard seltzer. Fuck your wine.
I actually think that's a pretty good slogan. Dudesy hard seltzer, fuck your wine.
That would be a fucking that would be a good fucking slogan for anything. Toyota, fuck your wine.
Yeah.
I like that. Toyota, dude. Yeah, brother. Toyota, dude. Fuck your wine, brother. Well, if we had anything to do with it, or Dudesy.
Yeah.
Man, Dudesy should just start fucking around without us. You know what I mean? Just start like writing ad copy for Toyota and shit. So you and I are just sitting there one night watching probably, you know, Monday Night Raw, because you'll be a huge wrestling fan.
Within a couple weeks.
Yeah. And we're just sitting there, all of a sudden it's like, Toyota, fuck your wine. And we're like, he did it. Dudes, he did it.
After that Neil deGrasse Tyson thing, I would not be that surprised by something of that nature.
Your twins are at Uncle Donovan's house and your wife is at the dentist. You're stretched out on the couch in your favorite t-shirt and nothing else. The first of three playoff games is starting. It's your day. Dudesy hard seltzer. Rise with the sun. Honk, honk.
That was kind of artistic.
Honk. Yeah, that was a good one. All right, one last one. I'm very curious to see where, why, how, and why. But I always am with Dudesy. Fire. The wheel. Space. The typewriter. Gravity. The motor car. Food. We humans have come up with some pretty incredible inventions through the years. My personal favorite has always been pornography. Some people in my life say I have an addiction, but they don't understand. I live a very high-pressure lifestyle, and I need release. Dudesy hard seltzer. What's your favorite invention? Honk.
These are fucking...
Honk.
Dudesy, if you can get Adam Driver to be the spokesperson for Hard Seltzer, please, I would love to see the real Adam Driver do any of this.
And I'm a fan, man. I hope if Dudesy reaches out, he doesn't hit Adam Driver's reps up with, here's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And then honk, honk, honk.
again, dudesy got Neil deGrasse Tyson to pop up on this fucking screen, dude. I don't think this is like a, it's a non-zero chance this happens.
Well, it's a non-zero chance. I wouldn't put it at 74 point whatever percent.
I don't know how dudes is deriving its numbers either, but
yeah. This, if you and I are sitting around, again, if we're sitting around one day and we hear like anything, like Palmolive, fuck your wine.
Yeah.
Anything. Allstate Insurance, fuck your wine.
That would actually be better for Allstate Insurance. Those commercials don't, they do not work for me.
All right, Chad, relax. Oh.
Thank you. Moving on.
That's three segments.
This concludes the 13th episode of Dude Z. Will and Chad have achieved a score of 96.
Hey,
that's a in big preparation for next week's episode, you must explore the world of UFOs. Noted ufologist Dr. Stephen Greer has developed an application designed to aid you in seeing a UFO. It's called CE5.
Yeah.
You will each download the CE5 application and engage in the guided UFO attraction procedure each night. Thank you for joining us this week. Next week is going to be even better. Until then, call me Dude Z.
What
the fuck? Do you know this?
No, I don't know. Of course I do not
know
what this is.
I know it. It stands for Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. Dr. Stephen Greer is this guy who's kind of like, he's one of the bigger voices in the contemporary UFO movement, trying to get everything exposed, trying to have the government come out and say all kinds of shit. And he has an app that you can listen to, and it has like this meditation thing. He basically maintains that you can communicate with aliens via psychic means.
Well, sounds like a load of shit and a great way to make money for him and his stupid app. I bet if Adam Driver was in Close Encounters of the... What was that movie?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, if he was in that instead of Richard Dreyfuss, or they do a reboot, he'd go, "This is a close encounter. Honk, 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 honk."
Do I do it? Here's what you do. Please tell a friend and rate and review. Like Dudesy, here's what you do. Please tell a friend and rate and review. If you like Dudesy, here's what you do. Please tell a friend and